Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Mini Podcast, where we share tips to empower leaders in the nonprofit world. I'm David Langiuli.
I'm Margaret Katz-Cam, David's teammate of Fundraising Leadership. And we are psyched to be here. And last time that we did a mini podcast, we talked about the judge.
Here come the judge. That was Flip Wilson in the 1970s.
I don't remember Flip Wilson, but I don't need to because here you are helping me.
He had a show on WOR in New York called The Flip Wilson Show. Anyway.
The Flip Wilson Show. Here come the judge. Anyway. So we started with the judge, who's sort of the master saboteur, and David right. and I both have a deep appreciation for the work of the PQ program, Positive Intelligence Program. And so we're going to begin to go through some of the other saboteurs who are accomplice saboteurs who work with our judge to, you know, to create havoc generally.
Right. And let's just remind the audience that these saboteurs are not actual people. We like to address them as nasty characters, but it's ways that we sabotage ourselves, their behaviors, their thought patterns, right?
Right. There are things that live in us with our own personal touch that generally came to us or that we developed for safety as children during some point in our lives.
Lots of survival functions these saboteurs come from. We're going to talk about one today called the stickler.
Stickler alert.
That's how, because my wife, who's a second grade teacher, can have a bit of a stickler. She's been through the PQ program with you, Margaret. You coached it. And when her stickler comes out, I just like start, stickler alert.
Do you have a lot of stickler? Is that one of your saboteurs?
Don't, thank God. It's not one of mine.
It's not one of mine either. So that's funny that here we are talking about it. But in some ways, actually, that's probably appropriate because there are a lot of people who really have this saboteur so strongly, and it's really hard to convince them sometimes that this is actually a saboteur. And sometimes the way that they learn that is by having other people share the impact.
Right.
You know, people who they have personal or professional relationships with report back. It's really hard to.
Really hard. Like you were coaching a group last week where you shared with me that one of the professionals in that pod was having a hard time seeing how there could be anything wrong with perfection.
Yeah. It's true. So maybe we should talk first about the lie of the stickler.
Yeah. Right?
I think the stickler has people believe that there's one right way to do things.
Yes. Got to get it right.
That is the big one. Once you get it right, like, whew, I'm good. I found the right answer. You know, it's like the math quiz when you find the right answer.
Well, I like what you're saying about the math quiz. I do think that many a stickler is born in the industrial education complex.
Yeah.
That's where it gets born.
Yeah.
Like get 100% on your test.
Yeah.
And if it's you don't, you're going to pay a price.
That's right. You're going down. Yeah.
You're going down. You're not going to, second grade, if you don't get 100% on your test, you're not going to college, right? This is the lie too. Right.
Yeah. And I think for all of us, but especially for sticklers, you know, black and white are much more comfortable colors than gray.
Oh, totally black and white for the stickler. Yeah. It's either right or it's wrong. Yeah. Engineers, you know, I remember the day when I was an engineer, probably had more of a stickler back then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I know you have a very strong background, Margaret, in the English language, and you're very adept in it as a writer, especially. Boy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But there is a way that I don't see. Maybe you can share with me. Maybe sometimes when you are writing, your stickler does come through. We all these behavioral patterns, we have them in some form or another. Like accuracy would be a sort of a healthy perfectionism. Like, you just be accurate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, actually, I love what you're saying, because in some ways, I think one of the impacts, one of the negative impacts of the stickler is that it really inhibits creativity and innovation. Because if you believe that there's a right answer and only one right answer, it really shuts down conversation. And so for me, writing is mostly creative. Like, it just feels good.
Right.
And there's rarely a time when I feel like, oh, there's only one way to have this sentence come out. Or so in some ways, it's a beautiful antithetical space to the stickler. But yes, yeah, certainly go for accuracy. I hear that.
Accuracy. Let's be accurate for sure. You know, that's what spell checkers are for, especially helpful for me with dyslexia, you know.
Right. And hard to be a stickler when
I've given myself a lot
only misery down that road.
You know, with dyslexia and having had a minor stroke in my language processing center of my brain, I have to give myself a break all the time when it comes to writing. Because I have a really hard time writing, and you know, I do a lot of writing.
You know? Yes, you do a lot of writing.
Yeah. But I can share with you that I, and we were talking about this before we got on the podcast, I worked in a culture, I won't name it here, where the whole culture of the organization was stickler.
Wow.
Like, if you made a typo in an email, you would be called out on it.
Wow. Did they have, what are those things called that you had to put your head through, you know, like, and be displayed in the public space?
Oh, shame and blame. Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. See, one of the ways that the stickler colludes with the judge, we talked about the judge, is if you make a mistake, the way you keep people in line in a perfectionist culture is you shame and blame them. You call them out, and you would probably reply to all on that email and let everyone know that you made a mistake.
Right, that somebody made a mistake. And so just sort of circling back, I think it's hard, I think, for all of us to believe. Well, there are certain saboteurs, accomplice saboteurs, that I think people are more likely to want to shed quickly. And then there are many others where people really struggle, as we talked about. And one of the ways sometimes that people understand that the stickler is the saboteur is by understanding the impact that he or she has on family members or colleagues, or, you know, that they feel shamed and blamed. You know, we hear, like, I'm not coming to you with an idea. Oh. You know, no way. Like,
why would you ever come?
Be stupid, right?
Yeah. Right. Why would you ever come to anyone with any ideas if you were going to be shamed and blamed?
Right. It really shuts down people in relationships.
You know? It also has another impact in organizations and in teams, is that things take an extraordinarily long time to get done.
Interesting. Right. Because it's like, yeah, perfection. I'll know it when I see it. I can't tell you exactly when it's going to be perfect. But
I like to call it polishing the rock, you know, polish that email, polish that, you know, like, who polishes a rock? It's a rock. But
people polish rocks. Yes.
There are people who polish rocks.
Yes.
Present company excluded, thank God. We're going to get to ours, you know, our That's main right. ones as we start to unfold these guys.
Yeah.
So a lot of delay, a lot of time and energy, people up all night, like, literally crafting perfection. What's another impact on us as individuals is that it's just exhausting having to do all that work.
Yeah. And I think this perfectionism is super, super anxiety causing, right? I think people who are sticklers live with a lot of anxiety all the time.
Yes. So I like what you're saying there. I was actually having this conversation with Lillian, because I was crafting something for LinkedIn on this topic yesterday, and we were talking about the stickler, and it's not clear to me. It strikes me that if you have perfectionist behavior, there is already some anxiety inside you.
Yeah.
that's driving
I don't know what causes what, but yeah.
Right, exactly. And then when you exhibit, you know, outwardly, and these behaviors do become exhibited outwardly, you generate anxiety for other people who are not perfectionists.
Right. Or they feel shut down. They don't want to deal or create things. You know, it's hard to be on the team with somebody.
Yeah.
Who's a stickler. It's like being back in school, taking a math quiz because, you know, there's only one right answer.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Science, engineering, mathematics are some of the breeding grounds for sticklers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again.
And also,
do they breed sticklers, or are sticklers attracted to the, who knows?
Who knows?
It's a chicken and an egg thing here for sure.
But here's another impact or a thought. If you're listening to this podcast and you know, like I put this post out on LinkedIn today and people like are saying, yeah, I have perfectionist tendencies. Many of us do. It's just not anything to be ashamed of, see, but just to, you know, be aware of. And yeah. One of the impacts is if I can't do it perfectly, I won't do it at all.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Not happening. Yeah.
Not going to even try.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of doom and gloom here, but it's not all bad news, right? Because what do we know about our saboteurs, David?
We know that we have sage powers.
Yes.
And we're going to get to these sage powers in some of these other mini podcasts. But what do you think is the sage power that would help someone? Margaret, you talked about it before we got on the podcast in another context. What is the sage power that really helps a stickler?
I think it's real, just empathy.
Empathy.
For our humanity. You know, I remind people sometimes that the way that humans learn to walk is that we fall down, you know, over and over and over again.
Exactly.
And so the joke of imagining, like, if your toddler was a stickler and they fell down once and they're like, I'm done. That was humiliating. I'm done. I'm not going to walk. I'm just going to crawl from here on out.
Right.
Right.
No, that's a great metaphor for, keep going. So in other words, if you start to notice that you have these perfectionist tendencies, give yourself a break.
And just keep remembering, like, humans actually learn by butchering it, right? Like, we learn by failing, we learn by falling down, we learn by bruising ourselves. It's very human of us to make mistakes and to do things imperfectly.
Little imperfections in our DNA code account for all of our diversity. Just think about that. Little, quote unquote, imperfections in our DNA code account for all of our diversity.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the 1%.
Yes.
We are imperfect by nature.
Yes, that feels like a drop mic right there, David.
All right, drop the mic. So, hey, folks, just a reminder, you know, this podcast is brought to you by Fundraising Leadership. That's us. And we provide unique coaching and training programs that powerfully transform how you work in order to get results, not perfect results, but excellent results. Please subscribe if you haven't already done so. You can find this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you're enjoying the show, see, imperfect speech, for God's sake, make a contribution on the website, man. We're doing this without advertising. You guys are nonprofit leaders. Get in there, hit that button. Let's keep this podcast coming to you ad-free. Now go put it into practice.